Just a little bit of housekeeping. Brother Brian made some remarks this afternoon, and he said there was this guy from Texas. I'm from New York. His first name begins with Joe. And it, Jay, gotcha. And it begins with J and ends with O. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, oh man, they're going to think that's me. Well, you see, my name is J-O-E. And I do not write books. Because I was a little concerned, because I was asked to present the gospel. And he said, that's not a true gospel, and I don't want you to think that because I'm standing here, I'm here to perpetuate what Brother Brian was talking about. So it's two different people, right? And I am from New York. It's Joe, but he is J-O, and I'm J-O-E. So just wanted to get that out of the way. So we can go on. It is a vast subject, and I know if J.O. was here, he's going to go, man, look at the congregation. Where did all the people go? But we were talking about the wisdom of God, and I will try to link it with the message of the gospel. And when you think about it, beloved saints, how God has acted, how God has worked to bring about salvation to man, we can only conclude it has to be the wisdom of God. And so I would read a portion of scripture just to place an image in your mind as to how God has worked and is working today to save precious souls like yours. And the illustration is found in the book of 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 30. We just want to use this as an illustration. First Samuel 30, beginning at verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days agone I felt sick. Verse 15, And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. Something has taken place in the history of mankind. And there is this little nursery rhyme that we, at least I said when I was much younger. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. And you guys can Google it because it's a true nursery rhyme. And Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's the history of mankind. Mankind experienced a great fall. And there has been those over the history of man who has tried to put things back together. And in all of their efforts, all that they have tried, they have not been able to put man back together again. Here it is, that God had placed man in this perfect environment and has given him instruction as to what he can eat and what he could not eat. And we read in Genesis chapter 3 how the serpent came in and he tempted the woman. And this is Satan working behind the scenes to bring man down from that place that God had given to him. Satan comes in with his temptation. And I can, at times, I like to imagine things. I can just see God, you know, looking down from heaven, saying, Adam, Eve, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And the temptation is so strong because of what was presented to them, that if you eat of the fruit, you will become like God, you will be wise, and all of these things. And it was a temptation that was irresistible. And God is there looking down, and as it were, if he can only stop them from partaking of this fruit that he had commanded them not to eat of, everything would be fine. But God did not do that. And God looked down and he saw that Eve took of the fruit. She gave it to her husband. He ate of it. And there it was. Beloved saints, like a runaway train, this was the plight of man. Something took place and it was irreversible. The minute man sinned in God's presence, all that he had done could not have been reversed. He could not have gotten back to where he once was. It plunged the human race into sin. How can, as it were, man put Humpty Dumpty back together when it's now irreversible? This was God's prize in creation. When he created man, he says, very good. There was something about man made in the image and likeness of God. God breathing into his nostril the breath of life and man becoming a living soul. And there it is in the midst of this garden, someone to represent God in this world. And Satan came in and it was all ruined. It's ruined. How can it get back together? Well, it's the wisdom of God, beloved, that we will see in how it has worked out a plan to not only restore man, but to raise man up to the Father's house, as the Lord Jesus Christ expressed to us in the Gospel of John chapter 14. We read that by one man, sin entered into the world. We understand that. And though there may be those who want to deny it, that is what the Bible says. By one man, sin entered into the world. And death came in. And when we look at this portion of scripture, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and this is the angle I want to present this message on, is how Satan has come in to ruin what God has created. And Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. Because there is this arch enemy of God that despite what God has done for man, he wants to implant in the minds of man that God is not who he said he is. That God is not a loving God. That God is not a caring God. That God is holding back something from us. And this is a lie that he has perpetuated. And many has believed that this is who God is. And David came to this young man. They came upon him. And this man is there lying on the ground. And the scripture says he was left there by his master. And he has been sick for 3 days. Can you imagine? We leaving one that belonged to us, abandoned as it were for 3 days, with no help in sight for him. Well, this is what Satan is doing to this world today. Satan has said, look, just try a little bit of drugs. You know, you'll get the high that you want. You'll get the experience that you want. You know, it will take you to another level. Just, I tell you what, the first dose is free. And then man starts to just take the drugs. Then he finds out, well, now I have to pay for it. That's the enemy towards man. Will get you in a condition whereby you have to suffer. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this. He says the thief comes. If I'm speaking too loud, just tell me, Brother Brian. I don't want to, you know, I know you have pain in your legs. The last thing I want is that you lose your hearing. So, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is no respecter of persons when it comes to this. The mankind is marked out by Satan. Whatever he can do to ruin you, he will do it. Just look around our cities. Young people strung out on drugs, tasting alcohol just so that they can get a different experience. They're not satisfied with what God has given to them. Why? Satan has them bound. And once Satan has you bound, he leaves you on the side to die. How many? How many are in that condition in this world today? And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you might be all dressed up, smelling good, be able to sing beautiful, wonderful Savior. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Satan has you bound. He has blinded your mind so that you will not be able to see the glorious gospel that radiates from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are bound. That was the condition of this man. David asked him. This is how he says it. To whom do you belong to? My friends, I ask you this evening. To whom do you belong to? Understand, brethren, please forgive me. I have to use this word. He says, I am a young man of Egypt. It's not that the Egyptians are bound. Don't get me wrong. I'm not the J-O. But just understand the message. He says, I'm a young man of Egypt. They used to it. Okay. I'm still from New York. To whom do you belong? He says, I am a man of this world. That's who I am.
He's confessing to David his true identity. I am just a man of this world. This world that has been condemned by God. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ has said it. Now is the judgment of this world. And the Spirit of God is here to testify of this to this world that they have rejected him. And he is speaking to them concerning righteousness. How is this world living today? There is so much unrighteousness, so much ungodliness, so much hate, so much evil, so much sin. And this is who you are. You belong to this world that God has condemned. It's a world that's ripening for judgment. And regardless of what man tried to do, it's still heading towards judgment. And God has marked out a day in which he will judge this world by the man that they have rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Says, I'm a man of this world. But listen to what he says. A servant to an Amalekite. Of the world and of the flesh. No flesh shall glory in God's presence. A man of the world, a man of the flesh. Isn't that what is rampant among us and around us? Things of this world. And oh, beloved, and I just say this, we have to be careful, very, very careful of allowing the world to just creep in amongst the testimony of God's people. We have to be careful of that because the things of this world God has set aside. The things of the flesh, God says, I want nothing of it to be named even in the life of my people. Here it is. A man of the world and a man of the flesh left there by his master, been sick for 3 days. That is what Satan is doing to the lives of so many people today. Some of them you may know. Has them in bondage. How will this man be released? And if we have drawn a picture of what mankind is like, the people of this world, how can now God work to set them free? How can he show his wisdom in offering to man salvation? We all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. That's this world. He had to do it in the person of his son. Yes, by one man, sin entered into the world. And man could not. We heard some of these verses quoted today. No one could redeem his brother. Or give to God a ransom for his soul. The ransom of man's soul is precious. That's why no one could put Humpty Dumpty back together. Because the ransom of man's soul is precious. What can I give to God for the ransom of my soul or for the ransom of your soul? I cannot give him anything. And God looked down on creation. Looked down upon mankind and saw him ruined and undone, knowing that the wages of sin is death. God says, how can I offer man this free gift, the burden of my heart to offer to man so that man could understand who I am, that I am a God of love, that I am a God of grace, that I'm a God of mercy. How can I do it? Oh, and the Bible tells us, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this world, he was born of a woman, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's the wisdom of God to bring salvation to you and to me. That's wisdom. Who shall I send and who shall go for us? Oh, the Lord Jesus, here am I, send me. A body was prepared, and here he is, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger. God was now coming to intervene into the affairs of men. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's wisdom. There's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, and the heaven responded. The heaven responded to that which God was about to do and what God was doing now upon the earth in this babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger. And as Satan held men in bondage, you know what's man's biggest fear today? Man is afraid to die. That's man's biggest fear. You know, that's why the pharmaceutical industry, those people who sell health products, they just want to keep you going and keep going. You know, there was a show a few years ago, back in the 80s. The theme song was, "I'm gonna live forever." Oh, really? Come on. Without the Lord Jesus? They are afraid to die. And Satan recognized that. And Satan, just, as it were, will dangle the thought of death over man. I say, yeah, you're going to get sin. The cancer is going to kill you. The arthritis is going to kill you. The diabetes is going to kill you. And man says, oh no, what lies beyond the grave? What happens in eternity? Is there a God? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Man is afraid to die. I see it all the time. 39,000 feet in the air, and the plane goes like this, and they cry. They grab some bees. They go, do you see it all the time? I tell you, the minute the plane starts to shake, I says, Lord, 39,000 feet closer to you. Oh, yeah. And Satan has used death to hold men in bondage. That's what Hebrews 2 tells us. He holds man in bondage. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Oh, he came. He took upon himself humanity. Oh, he took upon himself manhood. And he says, look, the one who holds the power of death in his hands, I'm going to take him on head on. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon him manhood, and he says, I'm going to go to Calvary's cross. I'm going to shed my precious blood, and the one who has power of death in his hands, I'm going to show him who has the real power. And on the cross of Calvary, the one who had the power of death was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when all was said and done, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And he says, I have the keys. I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he says to Satan, where is your power now? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has the power, he wants to set men free. And if you do not know him as your Savior this evening, he wants to set you free. Don't take it lightly. Don't take the reality of Satan lightly. Because there are those who says he is not real. I've been to countries where they have churches, you go to worship Satan. That's reality. But he is real. And he wants to hold you in bondage. But ultimately, he wants to take you to hell with him. When you read the
the parable of the sower. I believe this would be in Luke's gospel. It speaks about the wayside hearers. They hear the word of God, but it doesn't get in. And the reason why Satan does not want you to understand the word of God or to appreciate the word of God is because he doesn't want you to get saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of a hell, he says it was made for the devil and his angels. God never intended for man to go to hell. But that's your choice. You are making a choice that this is where I want to spend eternity. But the Lord Jesus Christ has done the work that was given him to do so that your soul might be ransomed. When he came, he says, I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. Even when his name was given to him, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My friends, the issue that lies between yourself and God is that issue of sin. And in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has settled that question once and for all. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died, God says, let's add to the Humpty Dumpty story. There's a way to put man back together again. Man who had this great fall and ruin and undone, God says, I have a plan. I have salvation's plan. That if you were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that God has raised this blessed one from amongst the dead, you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. God says, that's my plan. God says it's by grace that you saved through faith. It's my gift to you. It's not of yourself. It's not about a man, because man could not put Humpty Dumpty back together. But I have a plan, and this plan could put you back together in a right relationship with God. Wisdom's plan. And it was executed to the max there on the cross of Calvary. When it was all said and done, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It is finished. And the Apostle John says that the Lord Jesus Christ was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was manifest so that he may destroy the works of the devil. All those that he is holding in bondage, all those who are of the world and of the flesh, that he has got hooked and left for dead, he says, I came to destroy that work. I came to set the captive free. Now it's for you to respond to what God has done for your soul in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have trusted in him as your Savior, the one who came to deliver you out of Satan's clutches, out of Satan's domain, God says, there is more to come. I'm not just going to put Humpty Dumpty back together. There is more to come.
The Lord Jesus, the man said to David, he says, look, I'm going to tell you where my master is, but I want you to swear. I don't want you to deliver me back into his hands. I want you to take care of me, David. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised to those who trust in him. He says, you are in my hands. You are in my Father's hands. And no one is able to pluck you out of our hands. He says, your salvation, which is full and free, that I paid for, you cannot lose it. David made a promise to that man. I am not going to deliver you back into the hands of your wicked master. And the Lord Jesus says, I have given unto them eternal life. It's a free gift, and he wants you to enjoy it, my friends. Once you come to a knowledge of him, he says there is more. From the time you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a part of the body of Christ. The church of the living God and the one who held you in bondage. He says, now in the church, the assembly of God, I want that your life be a testimony to them. Of what? That in the church, principalities and powers can learn through the grace that has been shown to us. Who were in bondage to Satan, they may learn the manifold wisdom of God. And so we say to those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, are you manifesting to the principalities and powers the wisdom of this God that worked out a plan to save us? You're kidding around. We are just kidding around. Because here it is. The world that God delivered us from. The flesh and the power of sin that God has delivered us from. These are the things we're running after. We're running back to our old master. This is what the children of Israel said. We remember the leeks and the garlics and the cucumbers and all that was in Egypt. We want it. And we're guilty of that too. We don't want to manifest to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. We just want the things of this world and the things of the flesh. God is saying you can't have it both. That if no one could have done anything to put Humpty Dumpty back together. And I have done a work. And it has been worked out in the person of my son. Then you have to commit yourself to him. And to him alone. This, beloved, is where we have failed. The principalities and powers are looking down upon us. We used to say in the Caribbean, when you couldn't make it in your classes, we would say you're dunce. Dunce people. They're a bunch of dunce principalities and powers because they're not learning much from us. Beloved saints, God has worked out a plan. Wisdom. I tell you, I have 2 children. And if there's a building on fire and my 2 children are in there, along with Hadley's children, you know whose children I'm going for first?
You know what I would say to Hadley's children? Your father's right behind me.
Why? Because of the love that I have for my children. But if the flames are just too hot that I can't endure it, I would have to say to my children, look, we're going to meet in glory. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. In order to put mankind back together, he says, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, all have sinned. And I came to die for all, so that all may now manifest to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. So if you are here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to say to you in plain language, your master is the devil. Your master is the devil. And you will do the things that your master wants you to do. He will make this world as pleasant to you as he can. The things of the flesh, so desirable. But ultimately, he wants to take you to hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ died. He died on that cross of Calvary. We talk about the shameful death that he died to set you free. Now the question is, if he died to set you free, do you want to go with him? Do you want to live a life so that the principalities and powers may learn through you a little bit of the manifold wisdom of God? It will take us all eternity, beloved saints. There's a hymn that we sing, "What raised the wondrous thought? Or who did it suggest?" No one was there to counsel with God to say, look, this is the way it should be done. There was no planning session with man. God just had man on his heart. Who did it suggest that we, the church, to glory brought and with the Son be blessed? Oh God, the thought was thine. And thine only it can be. Oh, the wisdom of God. We will ever learn of the wisdom of God, beloved saints. And may we start today. Let's stop wasting time, beloved saints. Let us get into what the wisdom of God is all about. That he would work such a plan to take a sinner like me and says, look, the next stop, the Father's house. May God speak to my heart, speak to your heart, for his name's sake.